Howard Schneider is a Mideast correspondent for The Washington Post. He is in the Syrian capital, Damascus, today. How would you describe, Howard Schneider, the reaction or the treatment in Syria of developments in the peace talks with Israel?
The general feeling here is that these talks have hit a wall pretty quickly, and it's a wall that the Syrians feel the Israelis have constructed and which the Israelis can deconstruct if they choose to. Their attitude is, we've indicated flexibility in the first two rounds of negotiations. We've talked about swapping ambassadors. We've talked about securing water rights. We've talked about security. And it's up to the Israelis now to put something on the table as well, just to show some flexibility on their side.
Do you get the impression that the talks with Israel have been covered sufficiently there in the Syrian media, that the Syrian people have been following them closely?
It has been covered. All the press here is government-owned, remember. So when the talks first opened, the tone was, hey, this is great, it's going to happen now. You actually had some positive things being said about Ehud Barak in the press here. That was fairly precedent-setting and fairly unusual. Now the tone is a little more negative because this document was leaked to the Israeli press. People didn't like that. They're waiting for a commitment on the Golan. So it's, taking a turn back to the negative.
The document that was leaked to the Israeli press was supposed to be an American draft idea of how you might bridge the positions of Israel and Syria, what might actually be the draft of a peace treaty. Why did the Syrians object so much to that being released?
Well, I think the Syrians objected because it sort of put them on the spot a little bit. This regime has sort of maintained itself as the standard bearer of opposition to Israel and the standard bearer of Arab nationalism, and to suddenly have it indicating that it would be willing to talk about a listening post, for example, on one of the major mountains along the Golan. That it would be willing to talk about trade ties and tourism and ambassadors and all these things without getting an explicit commitment on Israeli withdrawal made it appear a little bit weaker, a little more willing to negotiate.
If it's a question of who goes first, if that's what it's come down to, whether Israel says first, we will withdraw from all of the Golan Heights, and then Syria says, well, now we'll make peace with you, or Syria says we're willing to make peace with you, and then Israel says we'll withdraw from all the Golan Heights, do the Syrians believe that it would simply be wrong for those two steps to be taken simultaneously? I mean, do they believe there's some important moral or political significance to Israel making the first step?
The argument I heard here today was as follows. The Americans set up working groups to deal with all these different issues, including land and borders. At the last round of talks, the various committees were working fine. The Israelis weren't showing up for the talks on land and borders. So the feeling was that, far from any sort of simultaneous conclusion being reached, the Israelis were clearly trying to pull things out of Syria that they wanted without making any progress on the borders and land issue.
The Israelis tend to regard Syria, or at least at various times in the past, have regarded Syria as a country where the leadership, because it's not democratically elected, has a pretty free hand to do whatever they want and then tell the people that's going to be Syrian policy. Is it really more responsive to either party opinion or public opinion than that?
Well, this issue of what role public opinion plays in the Arab world is a fairly complicated one. And you talk to leaders in any of the country, officials in any of these countries, and they'll say, look, the West assumes we're not democratic. The West assumes that public opinion doesn't matter. Well, it matters. We have to weigh it. We have to, even if we don't have the large legitimizing elections, for example, that take place in the U.S. or some European countries, it doesn't mean we can be ignorant of what our people want, feel, desire. And that's just as true here as it is anywhere. Assad does not have a 100% free hand to walk in there and, for example, say, keep the Golan, let's make peace, that would be more important, and then we can get on with developing our economy. That would surely lead to a lot of domestic opposition.
Howard Schneider, thank you.
Sure thing.
Howard Schneider, a Middle East correspondent for The Washington Post, spoke to us from Damascus in Syria.